Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Capeless Heroes. I mean, yeah. I believe this here is episode 11, but you know, as always, I'm not here by myself. I'm here with someone actually like pretty special. Let's just give it up for Diddy.
Hey, hey.
Hola, ¿cómo está, Diddy? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
I cannot complain. Cannot complain. It's rare that you get to have, you know, your sister from another mister on the show. Someone who means a lot to you in life.
Yes, yes.
I ain't gonna lie, heart's kind of, bumping hard right now, but I think I will be able to get through this episode.
But a lot needs to be talked about, so I am glad.
So what's new with you?
You know what? Honestly, I'm just getting comfortable having to wake my ass up and go back into the office and be in a regular world again.
I forgot, you went on like special types. You went, I get to wake up whatever time of day it is and make their way to the desk, also known as, the living room in your pajamas and shit.
I was one of those privileged people, you hater. Didn't appreciate your tone. And now I am no longer a privileged person because I have to get my ass up and get dressed. And drive and deal with people face to face. And the truth is, people are better when you don't have to really deal with them face to face.
It's a fact, but unfortunately, the reality is that the world is slowly opening back up.
Yes.
After this, we call it a 2-year hiatus. I'm still 30. I wasn't able to celebrate 2 proper birthdays, so I'm still, 30 dirty,
I feel it. Take back your time. Do the things you needed to do. We were stuck for quite some time. We deserve it. Redos all around.
And then, I need gas prices to go back down to the pandemic level, to be honest.
What the fuck is happening with gas prices? Obviously, I'm going to pay them because what the fuck I'm going to do? I got to get from point A to point B. But, oh, my gosh.
It's like the other day I saw 5.
No, I took Ariel up to Calabasas.
Huh?
It was 7. It was damn near $7.
You know what? We all just need a flat ass pay increase. Bitey boy, do me a favor and not the gas price it back down. Cause I remember I was happy. For living in California and see gas price at $3.
That was amazing. That was a time to be alive.
But now, I'm thinking about catching the bus again.
I'm about to start power walking. Please. Need to get my steps in anyway.
I got a scooter.
I'm afraid of those birds. I've seen too many people bite it. You never have to see me on WorldStar, Instagram, flitting around your Explore page, in my work clothes, biting it down floors. You got to be messed up. Nope.
It's not even WorldStar anymore. It's Grindface.
Shut up, really?
Yes. It's like WorldStar, but more broad. It's more like Walmart than it was the Sloss and Swap Meet. Anyone can catch the smoke on Grindface. It's the Latino dude fighting, black dude fighting, white dude fighting, Trump supporter fighting, hood shit. White shit, black shit, versus just WorldStar got degrading and disgusting after a while. You had the video of the girl sucking dick while on the phone with her boyfriend. And then any rapper can upload their shit up to WorldStar for $1,500. I ain't trying to go down like that.
No. Mm-mm.
Have you ever
seen... Which is why I can't be out here riding those electric scooters.
That's why I have a vehicle. I ride electric scooters ever so often, but that's only in Venice, and I ain't gonna... I admit, had a few cups. So it's worthwhile. It was worthwhile. So, have you been vaccinated?
Yes, unfortunately, I conformed.
Why?
I like to travel and they wouldn't let me on a plane without it.
Nah, people, I gotta tell you, I'm snitching. When you told me that you got vaccinated, that was like, you know what? The end is nigh. This is the most not getting shot in this motherfucker I've ever met. Like, booster shot? Nah. Flu shot? Nah. On her deathbed, yes, but no shot, no. But just because you want to fucking travel, got the shot?
You got to do what you got to do.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I am through the moon. Thank you.
I went kicking and screaming the whole way. And then when I sat there, that poor woman made... Look, if y'all haven't gotten your shot yet, go get it off of King and Western at that little blue and white school. It starts with a K. I don't know the name, but it's the only one. Mm-hmm. That black woman there has the patience of Job. She literally worked with me. I mean, she was the baby girl in me. She rubbed my back. She brought me water. She gave me 2 DoorDash fucking gift cards.
For how much?
$25 each. I what? Came up. He gave me 2 DoorDash gift cards just so I would take this dish. And I pussied out and I got the Johnson & Johnson one. So I only have 1 shot to take, you know.
Hey.
And I had to go through all that for 1 shot. But I did it. I'm here. Yes, I can get into places.
Yes.
I can get on planes. I can do it all. Let's do it.
Won't. Yes. You know what? You got the Johnson Johnson. Mm. I got the Johnson Johnson.
Let's go.
You know who's got the Johnson Johnson?
Who?
The legend known as the man of controversy right now. Talking about the GOAT. Sir Dave Chappelle himself.
Did you see that moment with him after the Hall of Fame thing with Jay-Z?
No, what happened?
When he was talking to a rapper that was like apparently someone that really meant something to him. I know the rapper's name, but it's escaping me right now. And I think that's the first time that I actually saw him move to like almost tears. Like he was just like it's so nice to see someone that you hold in such high regard, see someone they hold in high regard.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's kinda like humanizing to see that moment of like real like admiration.
Right.
From someone that you feel is already at that point where it's like, who's better than this? You know? Mm-hmm. It was nice. I have to send it to you.
Please do. If you don't know, if you don't know this, you fucking up big time. Jay-Z. Shout out to Sasha Rowe, by the way. Jay-Z is now officially in the Rock World Hall of Fame. Who else was inducted that year?
LL Cool J, from what I understand.
LL Cool J. Wasn't Biggie inducted the year before?
I'm not 100% sure. I was surprised LL Cool J got inducted. I mean, I don't know.
Everyone eventually gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. If you did it back then, of course LL. Like LL got the...
Oh, he does just like his lips.
Yes, he does. And be Todd Smith and be CSI.
This may be fucked up, but at this point, let's be honest, his legacy is going to be CSI.
Yes, and also...
licking his lips.
And also... I know this about LL Cool J. You did not want to break into his house.
Why?
Somebody broke into LL Cool J's house.
Uh-huh.
And thought they can like, you know, rob him.
Uh-huh.
No. LL Cool J like...
Oh, you brought the smoke?
All the smoke.
You brought the smoke? What happened?
In the barbecue pit.
Oh, shit.
The seat reclined. LL Cool J beat up the fucking burglar.
Really? I gotta look that up. I didn't know that happened.
LL Cool J beat up a burglar, and so did Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, wow.
That's how you do it.
But what that song he had? I'll be up in the apparently it's
I'll
true.
Be up in the club. You get a head sprung. Like, yes. L. Cool J was like Nelly for Nelly. He was no. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good. He is Nelly before Nelly with the doing the duty. You know what? I can see it. I can see how he would influence a Nelly.
Or I'm gonna say he was a Drake. He didn't sing, but he cared to the ladies.
With the lick lipping.
Being bub, being light skin, and don't ever come at L. Cool J. Don't forget he was in Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, wow. You know what? That nigga was in movies. He was also in The Last Holiday with Queen Latifah.
Yes. And he was also in, he was in one of the Friday 13th. No. Halloween movies at the security guard. And Delivered from Eva with,
Gabriel Union.
Yes. And young Terry Crews.
Oh my goodness, he did act. That's, you see what I mean?
And don't forget,
CSI is his legacy now. You forget all these things.
Don't forget, he's also the face of FUBU.
Is he?
Yes. He's mentored for us by us.
CSI.
We got hairs in the building right now. Oh, don't forget, he's also Lip Sync Battle with
Yeah, that was a good show.
It's like, don't ever come in
with his controversial. What's that? Her name, Big Cheeks.
Christian Teigen.
Mm-hmm. That was a good show. A really good show.
I'll go.
A really, really, really good show. Honestly, I'm surprised that show's not still around. I really enjoyed watching that. When the dancer, Magic Mike, brought out Beyonce that one time, that was dope.
Or I think Tom Holland's my favorite.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
When he, Rihanna?
Yes. Did he do, was it Umbrella?
Mm-hmm. And he had on the little letter dress, the little letter number. That was cute.
So, I finally got someone here I want to talk to you about this.
Uh-huh.
What's your take on... No, I'm not going to say it. I saw Chappelle's special. There's a lot of uproar about this. Mm-hmm. Netflix is going apeshit crazy. Jay-Z supports him.
I think most people support him.
A lot of support him, but I've been hearing... All right, so as you know, the whole controversy about the trans community. Mm-hmm. But Dave Chappelle's legacy has not been about that. Mm-hmm. I know the last special was, the car ride conversation. This one, it's
funny.
It was hilarious. It was funny. And then before that, it was always just been about white people. But I heard a take on why it is such a big deal.
Let me hear it.
It is because... It's not the rich. Transgender. Am I saying right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the rich transgender people that are like really being affected by this. Mm-hmm. It's the poor ones. Mm-hmm. No, they're the ones in the streets catching the smoke. Versus mm-hmm. like you have Caitlyn Jenner supporting you. That's awesome. But she got her bathroom. Because she didn't buy one. But, not the everyday people, live on the streets. Or not live on the streets, but live an everyday life, not as rich as this person is. And another thing is, I thought it's hilarious. But it's kind of like saying this. I'm not racist because I have a black friend. Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm not transphobic because I have a friend who is transsexual. Like, yeah, but you still say very mean things that the trans community is obviously offended by. But as a heterosexual male watching the special, I'm unaffected by this. You're doing ha ha hee hee jokes. But those people are really, really, really taking it offense. What'd you think about it?
I want to say that I am in no way, shape, or form trying to dismiss or downplay how anyone could feel badly offended or even insulted, saddened to see someone of this stature saying something they feel is degrading to them or discriminatory towards them and their group of people. However, I also feel like we're stepping into an age where we are really becoming too sensitive. The censorship on media and entertainment and now comedy has become so, like, in my opinion, strict due to sensitivity.
It's what? What?
It's like funny. We've become too woke. Like, we've become to yes. a point where it's like, it's Dave Chappelle. Anyone can get to smoke, and he is honest. But the thing about it is he creates conversation, and I never felt ever looking and watching anything he's ever done or said felt like he was trying to truly be insultive to that community or any community, truly. I always believed that he was trying to find a way to create conversation. Always seemed insightful to me personally as someone that isn't even in those groups, you know?
Safe is boring.
But... exactly. Like, if you look back on some of these comedy specials with the Richard Pryors, with Eddie Murphy when he was in this fucking hot-ass red leather suit.
Yes.
Like, how? We would have never gotten classics like that if we were putting such a lock and key on their tongues. Like, you have, there has to get to a point where a joke is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It has to get to a point where it's like, entertainment is entertainment. And I understand when you're being discriminatory, when your group of people is suffering from discrimination, how it can seem like a joke isn't just a joke or funny isn't just funny. But then we also have to be realistic about how it is that we are going about solving these problems. Telling Dave Chappelle he can't make a joke or say something in a certain way is not going to change anything going on in workplaces, not providing you with the things you need. That's a totally different ball game. So why don't we hit that field? Why are we over here trying to change the rules over here when over here is not what the problem is? We need to change the rules over here because they need to accept that you are here. You exist in this office. You need what you need. But Dave Chappelle's not going to solve that problem. That's not where those policies need to change. That's not where the protest needs to happen. Protest where you're being discriminated against. Protest against the people that aren't seeing you. Tell your lawmakers and all these people that are liberal, tell them to step up where you need them to step the most, which is where policies and real, like, procedures need to be changed.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sorry, this isn't where this battle needs to be fought. And in my opinion, it blew up for no reason. You want to fight battles about inclusion. You want to fight battles about people realizing and understanding the importance of your life. Then you take it to where change needs to happen. And that's in workplaces. That's in laws. That's in, like, government. That's not on a comedy special.
No. And when I was watching the special, like, and he made the point is, he's jealous of the fact that, like, they're the Pride movement is moving way faster than our movement, you know, being Black. Mm-hmm. But the difference between, you know, our movement and their movement is they still have no Caucasian people. No, so they're already moving. They're already in position of power to have, you know, this legislation, you know, to change policy, to change laws. Where our struggle is just, we're already alienated just because it's the color of our skin.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that the same back support. I mean, the same backing as LGBTQ sometimes. It's, they have every ethnicity, every walk of life, and we just have us. And that's why he's mad. And that's, like, what the struggle has always been about, is moving our movement.
I think anyone that would say that the Pride movement has not accomplished more and provided more opportunity than the BLM movement has would be lying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the crimes and discrimination against Black people are so high in even moments we don't see, even in the small moments, in places you can't even truly uproar and make change, because what am I going to uproar about? You can uproar about the fact that you don't have a bathroom and you feel like you need a safe place to do your business. How am I going to go and uproar and be like, I can't tell you what it is, but I know John is treating me differently.
Right.
I know John is skipping me on purpose. I know John is giving me attitude. I hear it in his tone that it's different than how he talks to Pete. But I can't really prove that because it's so, like, acceptable. It's so, like, subtle that, and people are so comfortable with it that this is truly something that I'm going to have to suffer with or leave, because what am I truly saying? Like, oh, well, John's shorter with me than he is with Pete. He spends time laughing with Pete, but he doesn't even like look at me that way or crack a joke with me. Like, what is the real problem? Are you mad because John doesn't want to tell you a joke?
Right.
That's not his job. You're here to work. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. It's not that he doesn't tell me a joke. It's that he's short. And no, well, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to have a conversation? Maybe you're just not that close. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. It's an uphill battle. You can never truly prove that point.
Like, one of my favorite comedians once said, Patrice O'Neill, like, that's the new racism. It's the shit I cannot prove, but I know that the vibe is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way you talk to me on set or the way you talk to me at the water cooler that's, you call me homie and you call him Anthony.
You call me boy, but you call him son.
Mm. I was on a job one day. No, not that long ago. I told you this shit. Sitting there doing what I'm doing on my phone, vibing. Guy walks up to me. He says, hey, are you with production? Yeah, I'm with production. There's a bunch of used syringes over there by my wires. Would you pick those up? I'm like, no, I would not. I will like get in contact with the person who do that, but that would not be my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I get in contact with the powers that be and tell them that, hey, this situation happened. There is a bunch of fucking used syringes on the goddamn street, and this motherfucker wants to pick them up. I would not be doing that, and I'm telling you that right now. And their response was, "What department was he in? Oh, hey, no, like, that's not your job. That's a different department's job. Woo, woo, woo." I'm like, I'm glad you're saying that, but I'm telling you as like a human being. I've been asked to do like pick up cigarette butts on the streets and pick up syringes. You wouldn't ask your coworker to do that.
Mm-mm.
Why are you gonna come up to like, it feels like the only African American person on set? You're gonna ask me to do that, such a degrading job. No, 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 no. And whenever a situation like that happens, there's nothing you can do but give a G check. I'm like, you would never be in a situation and I would not do that job.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta just stop it.
Unfortunately, you have to be your own advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point, is the fact that in so many day-to-day situations, it is harder for African-American people to really speak up about the situations that they're in because it's so of surface and so accepted in community compared to, and again, I am a big supporter and ally of the LGBT community. I'm always fighting for them. I believe they have all the rights in the world, and I believe that they should also be included in whatever it is that they feel that they need in order to be a productive citizen of the community, of course. However, you can fight your discrimination with much more confidence than I can because mine is so accepted in society compared to you, where you can be like, John's talking to me like that because I'm gay. And now it's a whole thing. Oh my God, he's gay.
Right.
Compared to me being like, oh, it's because I'm black. Because now it's like, well, how do you know John is racist? Well, what is the problem? Did he talk to you like it's definitely comes with different consequences, different explanations, and a different procedure than it would in the vice versa situation. And it's just the truth.
It saddens me that when I come home and I'll tell any of my friends about what happened at work, they're like, oh yeah, I can relate. That happened to be last Thursday. And sometimes, like, it's like a, like, so we all got to deal with this at the same time? Like, yeah. They know. Had a guy try to tell me, like, since you got long leg, why don't you hop up in the back of that truck and grab me the boobop-bop? I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, hello, sir. My name is Benji. Your name? He says, sir, yeah, I like that. Call me sir.
Hmm?
I said, okay. I see the smile on your face, and I see you trying to joke. What I'm not. In order for me to do the task that you just asked me to do, I only need you to talk to me with a little bit of respect. So, hello, Gary, my name is Benji. What can I do for you? Mm-hmm. Gary spoke correct. For the rest of the day, all was well. When I see Gary in that job, he and I have a good rapport. I think it's a form of education sometimes. Like, they don't know. Like, some Caucasians, like, they don't know how that it's not acceptable to talk to people in a certain way. Because, like, a person, my dad, he might accept that because they're all friends. But certain slights, certain thing I think might be kind of racist or kind of, like, discriminatory. Like, hey, I don't know if you thought that was offensive or not, but I kind of took offense to it. So before it becomes anything bigger than it is, can you please, like, speak like adults? And usually it goes well. Rare times I have to talk to anyone outside of that. Just be cool, calm, collect.
And I agree with always standing up for yourself, too. You have to create boundaries to protect your personal space and your feelings and make sure that people know how they can and cannot approach you. So definitely set your boundaries. I really believe that's the number one thing a lot of people gotta do.
Now, as you know, the mood got kind of somber for a moment. Let's bring the energy back up and talk about a particular brand that you and I both support adamantly.
Adidas.
What have the culture done for you, and why do you love Adidas?
If you look into Adidas records and their tracking and how it is that they treat their collaborators and the people that they bring in, they give back to more African-American schools and communities. They support the arts. They're not just lynching on athletes and people to use their bodies and tell you to just do it and push through it. But they actually care. And they actually have a lot of collaborations with just artists, like creating real art and trying to push that message out there and giving them more ability to be as creatively and as creatively in control of the product as they want to be, which is really important, in my opinion, when it comes to putting something out with your name on it. If this is going to represent me and this is something that we supposedly did together, I need to see me in it. And they allow that. They allow you to do that. And that's dope as fuck.
I agree in every way, shape, and form. Do you know, like, Adidas' origin story?
Yeah.
It was the Olympics. The guy by the name of Adolf Dassler saw a guy named Jesse, last name Owens. Shout out to the park.
It was a hater.
Yeah. He said, hey, man, wear these shoes. Make you run faster. I mean, they don't, but, you know, they look good. Wore them, won 4 gold medals. And then when America came to bomb Berlin, they bombed everything. Except for Adidas. And the soldier walked up, did say, hey man, thanks for not bombing me. Got some shoes. Took Adidas across the country, crossed on the pond, and bam. And his brother, you know, is Puma. Shout out to him as well. I support the culture in any way, shape, or form. Low-key because of you. I mean, I was going to support the culture regardless. Like, I told myself, like, once I start getting in a better financial situation, I need some Adidas. And then you had a birthday party. And the thing was Adidas. And bought myself the suit and my third pair of Ultra Boost. And 54 shoes later, in a year and a half, yeah.
We're still here. Sure. And they collaborate with some great people, some that you support highly too.
On a day-to-day basis, I don't care. Kanye, Pusha, Pharrell, Kid Cudi guys, shoe. Beyonce's over there as well. So it's I love Adidas, right? Mm-hmm. They made some very comfortable shoes.
Let's be honest. The culture truly love Adidas. The culture loves Adidas. Nike is Nike, yes, what they do. But let's be honest, that is an athlete's shoe. That is an athlete's shoe brand. And they, in my opinion, subscribe and contribute to a very toxic culture. Adidas, on the other hand, make you fly as fuck.
Yes, like you were a, honestly, you wear a Nike jump, like look like you about to do some dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt some dirt.
You pull up in that Adidas suit though, and it's like, oh, you can wear it anywhere. You can dress it up. You can dress it down. It's always fine.
Somebody try might make a joke about it, but like you know your fits fly. Like my pinstripes match my top. What are you talking about? My shoes are there too. What are you talking about, fam? All we do is support the culture, but speaking of the culture once more, can you please tell me about this brainchild known as Crib Culture?
Yes, I can. So once upon a time, many moons ago, I had this friend that was like an imaginary friend that I never could see, right? And then we finally got to see each other, and I was like, oh, man, you're actually really cool. And then we started to realize that we shared a lot of the same interests. And I was like, oh, man, that sounds dope. I actually have this really cool project that I want to work on if you're interested in hearing more about it. So then me and this friend that turned out not to be imaginary, but I thought was imaginary for some time, but it turned out that was just like a timing thing. So we go to Starbucks, and I'm like, hey, my name is Chantel. And, oh, I had these really nice nails on at the time, too. They were, like, mustardy. And then one of each hand was gold. It was dope as fuck. Anyway, so we were at Starbucks. And I'm like, oh, my sister and I, we have this business. We're called Creative Culture. And let's get the nice stuff out. We do a lot of stuff for the community. We believe in giving back to schools, and we're all from inner cities. So we like to do like things like that and support the culture and show kids that you don't have to just be in military or in a neighborhood or playing a sport. You can truly chase your dreams and your passions no matter what it is. Above that, though, for ourselves, we like putting out dope shit. Shit that bring people together, shit that shows people that one-on-one and that real human connection is important. I know earlier in this I said that I'm tired of seeing people in person, but that's just in the workspace, okay, guys? In life, I'm a very friendly individual. However, at work, I don't care for any of you. So look. So anyway.
Are you going to let your coworkers get this feed, by the way?
I don't care about that. So look, anyway. So I was like, yeah, and you like to do that shit. You're a creative person too. You work in media. You're out here with the knowledge that I don't have, because God knows what the fuck are these wires. Do you mean audio? What am I supposed to press on this camera? Why is it not working the way I need it to? And he had that knowledge. I was like, let's put this together and come out with these projects. And boom, bam, bing.
I guess that was about us. So, Crib Culture, that is us. What current project are we have working on?
We're putting out a very dope digital magazine. We still have our videos and our things of that nature with the artist projects. And then we had the opportunity to collaborate with a New York personality. So that will be coming out soon, too.
Yes, 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 yes. It has been a journey.
Oh, quite the journey.
Oh, my.
Ups, downs, roundabouts.
Oh, my.
The ship almost sunk. Had to throw off some luggage. Had to downsize, resize, relocate. A lot has happened.
Yeah, I mean, know what I found out in the past 4 years?
What?
Kind of fucking sucks, like, run a company.
Mm.
It really fucking sucks.
It does suck.
I mean, it's like it's awesome. Can you get to say like you're in a company, but
it sucks because you have to run a company.
Yeah, you gotta run a company. It's like, what does that mean? Like, you know, I do everything and anything under my title,
and stuff that's not under my title.
Yeah, and
have to figure out how to merge two titles, because now I'm doing this stuff under my title and the stuff under another title. So fuck it. I guess I'm doing both things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know more things now about being in the studio than you should, because you have never wanted to be an artist.
I don't. I don't. I hate it. You only hate what you're good at.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not challenging. It's easy. Like, I gotta do, it's a lot of babysitting. It's fun babysitting, but it's not fun babysitting because you have to manage and you can't have fun. You have to be the adult sometimes. I don't want to be a parent, but I'm a parent. It's like, I gotta pay for this. Your studio time to make you happy, to make the kids happy. This investment, all right, cool, bet, you know. Daddy loves you. please turn me a prophet.
That's really all it is. It's just a bunch of prayers that things will turn you a prophet.
I think the main thing that got me through the past 4 years are those bottles up there on that wall.
Oh gosh, yes, we do have problems.
I'm gonna tell you, yeah, that's only that last year. I'm gonna tell you people something about Diddy right here. If this is if she takes offense to this, I apologize. But first and foremost, you are a Avo. That's a slur, but it's a compliment. That means, you know, you're a native of California. Avocados aren't from California.
Hmm. I didn't even know that.
I'm trying to make it a thing. All right? Okay. We're trying to make it a thing. It's like fetch.
Mm.
We're trying to make
it
catch.
Trying
on.
To make it happen. All
trying
right.
To make it happen. Like,
I'm with it.
But a lot of alcoholic beverages. What is it with rum?
You know what? I don't know. Honestly. And I have amazing parents. I really do. Don't let this make it sound like I don't. They were great. However, my dad and my mom, they used to own a club. They came here, they started businesses, and the last one they had was a club. Like, that was the one that ran the longest. And when we would be, like, on the weekends and stuff, they would have parties and things of that nature. We would be there, and we would just, the only thing they would allow us to have was the rum drinks. So I'm, like, 13. Throwing back rum drinks. I start bartending at the parties at like 15, throwing back the rum drinks. I start to become specializing in making rum drinks. And now I know every kind of rum. Like, rum and me, just, it was, it's what they drink. It was there. Gin makes you sin. Never liked that.
True.
Tequila is not my thing. Wasn't liking that. I don't really like clear alcohol at all, let's be honest. I didn't even know vodka was an alcohol until I started going to other parties. And the Belizean parties, it was not there.
No.
What else is there? Oh, I knew what whiskey was, but I didn't have an appreciation at that time for it like I do now. So it really was just me and rum. And as I progressed in life, it progressed with me. I started to realize that, hold on, wait, there's more than this kind.
Yes.
There's this, there's that. Oh, wait, you put this and this together, it tastes better. And it felt like rum and I just grew. We got stronger as a couple. And we're still here, still rocking.
I remember... We went out for happy hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diddy is the worst person to ever go out drinking with.
I'm the best person.
No,
I am
not.
Such a good time.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I am such a good time.
Not.
Yes,
no,
I am.
No. Like, the good time.
I am so much fun.
No. Like, the fun time is the first part. It's like everything that comes after the
life
fun.
Is full of consequences.
We went drinking one night. It was like a work night, so we don't give a fuck. We're professionals in the story. So we went drinking on like a Tuesday.
Yeah, understand, we're going to work tomorrow regardless.
And this party did not end until like, I mean, the drinking fiasco did not end till like maybe like 12. And I had to be up and at them. And we're at that place where it's not Calabasas at 6 a.m. So I get home. It's not fun. A lot of throwback story. Jump up at 4 a.m. because I had to get to my truck. I'm still like pretty fucking like hung the fuck over. Get to there. I get the truck. I get to work. And I'm sitting in our car just like halfway asleep. And person walks up to me and says, are you good? Like, I'm not gonna lie. I went drinking last night. I'm pretty hungover. I need to sit here for about 20 minutes. And she said, it's Tuesday. Like, yo, like, I got here at 6 o'clock. That is a boom. Give me my little 20 minutes and I'll be done. After that, I'll be back. All thanks to rum. But recently, I have not been drinking the rum.
Yes, you said you've been drinking more beer, right?
Yeah, but even before that, man, I'm old. All the I know what people mean now about all the sugars. Like, all those sugars and rum, like, I'm not what I once was.
Uh-huh.
I can't, like, knock them back, wake up the next morning, go to work. With all those sugars, I ain't gonna lie, I've been drinking Mezcal.
Oh, wow.
It's like tequila.
Uh-huh.
It's like tequila's cool brother.
Mm.
But I remember my boy bought this hooch from Madagascar.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to James. And I gave it to you. It was that rum hooch. I swear, the look on your face was devastating. It was that green bottle. Remember? It was here. It was a green bottle.
Uh-huh.
It came from Madagascar. It was really, really sweet. And it had, like, bits and pieces of cane sugar floating in it.
And we took shots of it?
Yes. But nothing can ever compare to Tiger Blood.
Nothing compares to that 151, that Don Q 151 that we had that one time. That almost killed me.
That's why...
That almost killed me.
I'm going to have... No, that's why this I stood it off. This is the
thing that I feel when it comes to, like, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to the age now where I can't get crossfaded anymore. I told you. I can't drink... and smoke.
Uh-huh.
I used to be able to. You know me. Mm-hmm. I used to be like if I had one in one hand, the other was in the other. We're here together. We're moving. It's like whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, you know, that one was done. You're like, oh, I'll hit this one here. Let's light up. Now, oh my God, I can't. I cannot. I'm not as strong as I used to be. It has to be put to bed.
You know why?
Because I'm old.
It's very
I've
simple.
Aged out of that.
This is 30.
I've aged out of that realm, that world, that ability. I am no longer that young. I admire people that can still do it. I admire people that are my age and up that can still do it. Like, you are a better person than I am. However, I cannot. But when it comes to drinking alone, I feel like when you have your baby, like I have rum, I feel like it's just like you just get each other. It's like you start drinking and the rum's like, I get what you need tonight. You start drinking and rum's like, oh, okay, you have things to do tomorrow. We're going to stop here. Like, because our relationship is so strong that it wants me to succeed.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to enjoy it. It wants me to enjoy life. So we are here together.
I thought it was once, like, sad to, like, drink alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come home after work and, like, have yourself a drink. It's like, no, I like to watch a show, have myself a not a strong alcoholic beverage, perhaps right now a beer. I've been steering clear of the hard alcohol recently,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm getting my liver ready for the 28th. But in the meantime, you know, I've been drinking a lot of beer, and I've had the opportunity of watching people be drunk. And not be the drunk guy. I didn't like myself when I drank as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a great fucking time the night you went out. And the next morning, just, what the fuck did I say? What the fuck did I do? How much did I fucking spend? What mm-hmm. the fuck? I forgot this even fucking happened. We said we're going to do what? 3 months from now? You told me that when I was drunk? No. High binging, on the other hand, that's a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
So I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses. I don't have the capacity for the alcohol anymore anyway. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the sugar gets to you. I'm not 21 anymore. Mm-hmm. Even though when you're 21, you were drinking shit liquor sometimes.
Hell yeah.
Not knowing that it was shit liquor. Like, when I tell myself, like, when people say I drink Jose Cuervo, it's just, ugh, what the fuck?
That cheap shit is hurtful.
Yes.
To your body, to your liver, to your kidneys, to your life, to your head the next day. Like, you know, no.
No. Stay away from hard, cheap liquors. If it's on the bottom shelf,
don't do it.
Do yourself a favor.
Don't do hard and cheap.
I drank.
If you can afford it, do better. Don't drink if you can.
I've had Hennessy a few times. And every time I've had Hennessy, it was not great.
I've never been a Hennessy person. I've never drank it. Like, I had it a few times, and each time I never enjoyed it. I don't get why people are like, I live and die behind Hennessy. What's wrong with you? Who hurt you? What's happening?
Well, Hennessy is a part of the culture. During World War II, black soldiers were in France, and they fought in France and whatnot. And a lot of the French citizens sent soldiers back with Hennessy. Like, they went back to America saying, oh my God, like, I went to France and got this, cognac, Hennessy. And it became popular in the culture.
Can we just admit here and now that sometimes the culture backs nasty or dumb or fuck shit?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the culture really needs to reexamine what it is that we be behind.
And now everyone swear by anything or nothing?
No.
Like, when I see people drink Hennessy, and like, I'm like this, oh my, like.
It's hurtful.
It's like, Hennessy is worse than Listerine. And I'll fight anyone over that one.
I don't know why, and then you just be like, down in the bottle, and it's so ridiculous.
It looks like gasoline. Now, I've yet to try white Henny, so anyone out there who's about to start talking shit, saying, you never had the good shit, I have not. Have the good shit. And unless you have the good shit, let me try it. And then to them, no.
But I don't know. I don't feel like there's any form of Hennessy that I'll be behind.
They say the XO, the good stuff, but the entry-level stuff don't even get me.
Exactly. Like, certain alcohols are at least alluring enough for me to be like, oh, what's this? Uh-huh. I feel like if someone just gave me a shot of Hennessy and didn't tell me it was Hennessy, the shot would not be alluring enough for me to be like, what's this?
Right.
It would be like, the fuck is this? Like, I don't truly want to know.
Right.
I mostly want to know why you even thought to give this to me. Like, it's not a, what is it like? Ooh, let me see. It's a, what is it like? Are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. But certain ones taste enough, like, has enough of a taste for you to be like, ah, what's this?
I could get the appeal of this.
Yeah, that's not Hennessy.
No.
Never
no,
been.
No. It made me feel like sluggish, heavy, nasty. Nothing like they say on Instagram. Nope. That's for damn sure. I came home and slept nasty, horrible. Mm-mm. I didn't want to do that again.
Never.
Ever, ever, forever, ever. Now, Dose, Jay-Z's cognac, is good.
And I feel like the culture does not mess with it as much as they should.
Really?
Like, Meg Thee Stallion, for a little while, she was doing a Drive the Boat thing with it, but people were mostly trying to drive the boat. I don't think people were really paying attention to the alcohol that she was driving the boat with. I personally do not feel like the popularity around Dose is as even near as high as the popularity around Hennessy, which Hennessy has had years of a head start.
Right.
But I feel like people are not checking for Dose that way.
I would imagine it would be pushed harder because,
it's Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is the king of the culture. So Jay-Z said it's popping.
Nope. Mm. I don't feel that way. And I love Jay-Z. You know that. That's my person. And
I ain't gonna lie. I'm not ashamed of us as friends, but I'm kind of embarrassed.
What?
When we did Otis, it was like.
I thought they were going to tell you who was who.
No, it wasn't even that who was who. Like, we. That was a we situate. And
for those who don't know, we planned that in advance.
We spoke
in advance right. to karaoke. So, we were like, we got to do a song. What song? We chose this song ahead of time and none of us did the research.
We tried. We did Otis. And all right. So, yeah, it was horrible.
It was bad.
It was like, damn, like, you know what? I don't like karaoke in a sense of it's not the words of the song. I know.
It's the vibe.
I know the words in my heart.
It's the vibe.
And then I gotta read the song. Like, that's not how I do it. And like, you're not doing the right ad libs at the right moment. And like, I ain't allowed the beat off. Like, give me Redbone. You know I fucked that shit up in any goddamn that's day
true.
Of the week.
That's true. His karaoke rendition of Redbone is one for legends.
I'm telling you right now, when I do karaoke for Redbone, everyone knows you need two sticks. You need two sticks. One, the beat of bitches off me. Sorry. And secondly, no, clean the floors.
No real shit though. His Redbone really is top notch. It really is. It's a wonderful performance. You got the opportunity to see it. You got to see it. It's amazing.
The tour is coming soon. Next time I will be doing my rendition of Redbone will be November 27th, maybe 26th. I don't know. Maybe one of those days. I'll be doing a few. Check the Instagram. Check the news. Check World Star Hip Hop. Check Grind Face. I'm going to be doing it everywhere.
Yes.
But we're going to start slowly drawing this here episode to a close. But Diddy, as again, thank you.
Never a problem. Happy to be here.
This has been...
Benji is one of my favorite people.
Oh, stop it. Benji's
the only person in life that, like, my family truly loves outside of me. Like, he has relationships with my whole family outside of me. They look for him. Uh-huh. Like, where's Benji? So, this truly is my brother. From another, and I am happy to be here.
Thank you. This has been been looking forward to making this episode for a very, 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 very long time. As you know, it has been going through different variations. This was going to be a full fledged zodiac thing at one point in time. That episode,
I'm a Virgo, Team Virgo.
Team Virgo, as she is. You know the other two placements.
I am a Pisces and a Scorpio.
Yes. She's a Scorpio rising and a Pisces sun. I know these things because I'm a stalker on...
We're friends on that. The
Boobop thing.
The app.
CoStar.
Uh-huh. Oh, there's this other app called Pattern that I just got put on too. I'm going to show you. It deals in that like same realm, but that shit is low-key on point.
Ooh.
I'm going to send it to you.
I am a Aries sun, a Scorpio moon, and a Leo rising. Whatever that means, I have no idea, but on the
next... Means a lot of confidence in one person.
I guess so. But on the next episode of Cabeless Heroes, we're going to figure out what that all means.
Yes!
Diddy, where can we find you on the good old-fashioned internet, Bob?
I only have Instagram. And my I only have Instagram. And my Instagram is Shanti J.
Shanti J. You can find me, Benji, on all my things. You already know where that is. Benji is on the gram at GoBenCoco. On Twitter at Westside Benji. And like, subscribe, support, all that jazz. Thank you so very much. Diddy, once more, thank you so very much for coming on the show.
I had a great time. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Out you be the play now. Long days and pleasant nights.